So the Secretary General will give you an overview of the meeting of the last 2 days, and then he will be very happy to take your questions. Secretary General.
Good afternoon. We have just concluded two very productive days.
Митинги завершили два дуже важливі зустрічі. З важливими
питанням to invite Montenegro to begin accession talks to become the 29th member of our alliance. We have agreed to sustain the presence of our mission in Afghanistan to train, advise and assist Afghan forces. And we will sustain our force level at around 12,000 troops during 2016. We have also launched work to ensure the Afghan forces continue to be funded until 2020. We have stepped up efforts to deal with challenges from the south, with the further measures to assure Turkey, the NATO ally, who is on the front line of that volatile region, and more support for our partners in North Africa and in the Middle East. We have also focused on the East. We underlined that we will continue our political and our practical support to Ukraine. NATO is committed to supporting a peaceful and diplomatic end to the conflict. And while we have seen some progress in implementation of the Minsk agreements, there is a real risk of a resumption of violence. Russian-backed separatists have not yet withdrawn their troops and equipment. Illegal groups in eastern Ukraine have not been disarmed, and Ukraine has not been able to re-establish control over its border. The Minsk agreements are the only path to a political solution to the conflict. They must be implemented in full by all sides. Last night, we also, Ukraine doesn't stand alone, and we are helping Ukraine in several different ways. To modernize its command and control, cyber and logistics, these projects have a real impact on Ukraine's ability to defend itself and to strengthen and reform its institutions. Ukraine continues to show its commitment to implementing ambitious reforms. There is a fundamental need for Ukraine to continue on this path, and NATO will continue to support Ukraine. Last night, we also discussed our relationship with Russia. Challenges posed by Russia's actions in the Euro-Atlantic area will be with us for a long time. Allies expressed regret at the decline in military transparency in Europe over the last decade. We agreed that our priority now is to work to restore predictability in our relations. Last week's incident with a Russian plane highlights the importance of getting this right. That is why it is important to step up work on transparency and risk reduction. Most immediately, through intensified efforts to reach agreement next year on a substantive update of the OSCE's Vienna document. This is important, and this is an important tool designed to increase openness and transparency concerning military activities, including the observation and notification of exercises. And second, we will develop further proposals on transparency and risk reduction to avoid misunderstandings, miscalculations, and incidents spiraling out of control. Being firm in defending our allies and seeking reciprocal transparency about military activities must go hand in hand. As the world has become less predictable, we need to modernize the rule book of European security. And with that, I'm ready to take your questions.
Okay. Over there, OnePlus1 TV, second row.
Yeah, thank you. Secretary General, Ukraine is not Macedonia, unfortunately, but we can we expect some inspiring news towards the Warsaw Summit next year? That's one question. The second is a nuke. What do you like and dislike in Ukrainian policy in reforming itself after this defense minister summit this summer, when we were supposing to get some development in reforming our armed forces, et cetera, and we don't really feel that Ukrainian government had fulfilled all the projects and all the things that it should be doing this time. And the very last one, do you see any new deadline for Minsk as it doesn't work? Thank you.
We just had an excellent meeting in the NATO-Ukraine Commission, and Foreign Minister Pavlo Klimkin updated us, and we went through all the different strands of work and all the different challenges Ukraine is facing. And the meeting in itself was a very strong expression of solidarity with Ukraine from all NATO allies and from the alliance as such. And I think that also it is important to understand that we will continue to provide both political support and practical support for Ukraine. And actually during the meeting, some allies also announced increased support for Ukraine with new pledges to support the different trust funds we have to finance the program and the cooperation we have with Ukraine. And what we do when it comes to logistics, command and control, cyber and in other areas are of great importance for Ukraine, and that was also very much underlined in the meeting. Moreover, several allies are also doing a lot on bilateral basis. They do training, they do other kinds of advice and assist to the Ukrainian forces, and this adds to what NATO is doing as an alliance, the bilateral efforts of several NATO allies. So this will be high on our agenda. We are continuing to stay very focused on how we can work with Ukraine, but the most important thing is to make progress in implementing the Minsk agreements, meaning that we have to see withdrawal of heavy weapons, we have to see the full implementation of the ceasefire, exchange of prisoners, and of course we are also very strongly calling for that the OSCE observers are getting full access to the area so they are able to monitor the full implementation of the Minsk agreements. So we continue to support a negotiated solution to the crisis. Our support for Ukraine is taking place now. It will be an important part of our preparations for the summit in July, and I'm certain also that the summit will express strong political and practical support for Ukraine. Exactly in what ways, I think, is a bit too early to prejudge.
Kyiv Post.
Hi, Kyiv Post. How does NATO justify the creation of the Russia-NATO Commission, and how does it promote the stated goal of restoring predictability and transparency with Russia's military activities in light of the fact that NATO has acknowledged that Russia is destabilizing Europe and hence many NATO member countries, in light of the fact that NATO has acknowledged that Russia is trampling upon the sovereignty of many nations? It has five border disputes with out of six NATO partner countries. Would you please comment on that? Thank you.
Last spring, after the start of the crisis in Ukraine, NATO decided to suspend practical cooperation with Russia, but we decided at the same time to maintain, to continue political dialogue with Russia. And the NATO-Russia Council is part of this political dialogue. It has never been suspended. So therefore, it's not possible to resume something which is not suspended. We have actually had two meetings in the NATO-Russia Council after the start of the crisis in Ukraine. So this is not about going back to business as usual. This is not about assuming anything. It is about how to use what we already have, and that is the NATO-Russia Council. And we will now look into and explore how we can have a meeting, the agenda and the timing. But the council has never been suspended, and we are looking into how we can use a tool which has been there all the time. Because we never closed or suspended the political dialogue with Russia. We have had political dialogue with Russia ever since the crisis started, but what we suspended was the practical cooperation, and that remains suspended.
Wall Street Journal.
Julian Barnes, Wall Street Journal. Mr. Secretary General, Russia said today that the expansion to Montenegro was could lead to retaliatory measures. I wondered what you made of that comment. And then more broadly, how did you balance over the last couple of days the those allies who want a harder line to talk about deterrence with Russia and those who want more dialogue? There have been two different approaches here to Russia, and how does the alliance handle that?
First, about your question about Montenegro. We have decided to invite Montenegro to start accession talks with NATO. That decision is not about Russia. It is about Montenegro and NATO, 28 NATO allies, deciding to go further towards the path of full membership. And to invite Montenegro is not directed against Russia. It is a decision for our security, for the security of 28 allies, and for the security of Montenegro. So I think it's important once again to underline that it is a fundamental principle that every nation has its sovereign right to decide its own path, including what kind of security arrangements it want it want to be a part of. And no other country has any right to try to interfere in that decision-making process. So this is a decision which is up to 28 NATO allies and Montenegro to make, and no one else has the right to interfere. Second, on deterrence and dialogue. Yesterday we addressed exactly that, and there is a very strong message from all allies that there is no contradiction between strong defense, deterrence, and political dialogue. Actually, the message is the opposite, that as long as we are strong, as long as we provide deterrence, then we can also engage in political dialogue. And that's the only way. And that's the reason why we are adapting to a new security environment, by increasing our collective defense, by making our forces more ready, more prepared, and increasing the readiness and preparedness of our forces. And we are continuing to strengthen our collective defense. At the same time, we are striving for a more cooperative and constructive relationship with Russia, because we believe that it's also in Russia's interest to not confront NATO, but to cooperate with NATO. But we are very clear that political engagement has to be based on strength, and that's the reason why we are doing both at the same time. I will add one more thing about that, and that is that, as I've said before, this is also very much my own experience from Norway, being a small country bordering Russia, and before that the Soviet Union. We were able to work with Russia on many different issues and areas not despite of our membership in NATO, but because of our membership in NATO, we were able to work with, to politically engage with, and to also cooperate with Russia in many different areas, fishery, energy, border, environment, because we had the strength being part of the NATO alliance.
Okay, we'll go to Georgian TV here.
Georgian Public Broadcaster, Mr. Secretary General, we read the final document and we read that Georgia will become a member of NATO with MEP. It was decided in Bucharest Summit, and it still stands. And then we read that Georgia has all practical tools for to prepare for eventual membership. So, can you explain us, does it mean that we still need a membership action plan, or we have all tools to prepare?
We have exactly the same position as you just referred to in the statement. This is a common statement agreed by all 28 allies. And we recognize that Georgia is making progress. We are reconfirming the decisions we have made before, and that includes also the requirement for MAP. And this is something which has been part of our approach all the time. So we are. We are saying and stating exactly what's stated in the statement. I'm saying that the MAP is included in the requirements for the progress we are going to continue to make together with Georgia.
One last question.
Regarding Georgian Broadcasting Company, GDS-TV, in the communique it stated that for the Warsaw Summit we will explore new practical ways to intensify efforts. Could you please tell us what does it concretely means and what should Georgia wait for from Warsaw Summit?
What we will do is that we will continue to work with the Georgia, and we have achieved a lot, both when it comes to supporting the reforms which Georgia are implementing on the rule of law, on modernizing its different defense institutions and modernizing other institutions. And we are also continuing to work with Georgia when it comes to modernizing its defense, its armed forces. We will continue to implement the substantial package. We will do training, and we will have more political dialogue. So on all these strands, we are working together with Georgia to move Georgia forward on the path towards membership. Then, of course, we will make we will follow, and we will continue to assess the progress which Georgia is making. And again, it's too early for me to prejudge exactly what we will decide in July, but we will continue to work closely with Georgia continue to work with them to make sure that Georgia is continuing to making progress.
Thank you very much. This concludes this final press conference of the ministerial. Thank you.